Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
There we go. Good morning. How's everyone doing? We all doing well today. Look at your neighbor and say, you sing like an angel. Go ahead. Look at the other person you just ignored and say, bless your heart. Bless your heart. There it is. I'm excited to get to hang out with our Great Neck family today, and I have to say thank you for sharing Pastor Josh with our Seaboard family. He was preaching a great word in our Wise Guys series to the Seaboard fam today, and people have been talking about the encouragement and the breakthroughs it brought in their lives, and it's fun to get to hang out with you guys as a result of Pastor Josh at Seaboard. And how many people have been hearing the good reports about Pastor Steve and our team in Africa right now? Have you guys been hearing that? It is amazing what's been happening. I know some of it we talked about yesterday at our Thanksgiving preparations that we had here with a lot of our volunteers at Great Neck. But this evening, Pastor Steve is going to be preaching at Pastor Boshoff's church. Listen to this. 45 campuses will be streaming in, and approximately 200,000 people will be hearing the gospel as our senior pastor preaches this evening. How many people think that is amazing? I don't know about you, but I get excited when I look at what God is doing in and through the leadership of our church. Is anyone thankful for our church in here? Are we in the right church? Come on now. I know I'm thankful. As well, want to welcome everyone who is streaming online today. So glad to have you joining us. We know you're coming from around the world, maybe in a hospital, maybe actively deployed. Maybe you have work today and it's playing quietly in the background. We're believing right now that wherever you're joining us from, that you as well have a front row seat to the power and the presence of God in your life and your story today. So we're going to go ahead and pray and get into it. Does that sound good? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that today we are who you say that we are. That God, we're not the sum total of our mistakes. We are the sum total of your gift of life. And Jesus, I pray for every single person here today. I pray that we could, man, if we have storms in our lives, I pray those storms would sit down right now. Jesus, we don't have to fight for your attention. We don't have to hurry and race through your presence. You're here, and so I pray right now that all those seas, all those storms, those concerns could calm right now, and I pray your voice would be heard above all else, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Come on, somebody said amen, amen. Come on, if you believe it, give the Lord a hand this morning. I'm gonna stir some faith in here. I'm excited to continue our series on wisdom today. Thank you to the team, by the way. We've all heard the saying before, give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. You teach a man to fish, what happens? You feed him for a lifetime. See, as we're continuing our series on wisdom, I want to talk today about how to approach the Word of God for ourselves and get wisdom for life. I could share on a few snippets or nuggets of wisdom for specific areas of our lives, but rather than focus our conversation of wisdom on one or two select topics, I thought, let's better equip ourselves to find wisdom for whatever it is that we need the wisdom of heaven on in our lives. Amen? So that's kind of the route, the direction we're taking today. And personally, I am loving this series. You know, there are people around the world that are in church today, and they're not all talking about wisdom. One of the things I love about Pastor Steve and Pastor Sharon's heart for our faith community is that we have senior leaders who really do value leading us on a faith journey that works on our Monday or a Tuesday just as well as it does on an 11 a.m. service and a Sunday. I grew up in many different churches. My family moved a lot as I was growing up, and I will never forget how there were times where I would sit in church and I would hear what the pastor saying, but I was like, what does that have to do with my life? How do I take that? How do I live that? How do I walk that out? And I am thankful that in this house, we speak to things that we encounter and that we deal with every day. So we're talking about wisdom today. We're keeping our Wise Guys series going. And, you know, as I was writing this message today, I was reminded of how a few years back, my eldest, Uzi, he's actually turns 9 this week, turns 9 years old. Which is awesome. I looked at Lauren. I was like, we made it. Level 9. Here we go. Okay. But, you know, a few years ago, he started learning how to read. And as I was thinking about that journey a little bit, I was reminded that reading is so much more than just sounding out words on a page. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Like, I wish it was that easy. There's all these other things that go into reading and doing it well. Like, one of those things is this idea called context. It's not just words on a page, but it's understanding the context or the surrounding topic in conversation that those words are spoken in. When I was preaching in the first service, Pastor Robert, fearless leader of our Caleb generation, sent me a photo that, Robert, it was so funny. I thought, we gotta show it in here. Think about context right here. It says, I'm no cook, but I can follow directions. They said, let the bird chill in the sink for a few hours. So you got a bird, he's got a Coors Light, or just a Coors, I don't know, I can't quite see it from here. He's got the onions, he's got the control in his right wing. Like, he's just chilling. How many people know context matters when you talk about letting the bird chill? That's a word in season for Thanksgiving. Anyone in here who believes stuffing is the will of God, by the way? All right, look around at all these hands that are up. They will all be seated at the right hand of the Father in Jesus' name. Every last one of them right there. Context matters. Someone look at your neighbor and say, context matters. Okay, if you're taking notes, write down. Listen, when we read our Bibles, we have to remember that context matters. The Word of God, it is relevant. It speaks to our lives today. But here's what we got to remember. The Bible was written for us, but it was not written to us. It was written to people in a context thousands of years before our time. But that's the beauty of the Word of God, that when you read this book, even though it was written long ago, it still has wisdom and strength and promises for our lives here today. But we run the risk of misunderstanding those very same things if we don't take context into consideration. So context matters. Another thing that matters is punctuation. We'd rather not worry about commas, semicolons, quotation marks, periods, exclamation marks, but they really are important. Like I said, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, so consider this example where you're sitting around the Christmas table. Grandpa's at the table with you, right? He's there. You're getting ready to eat the meal, and you invite Grandpa to eat with you. Think about how important the difference a comma makes in this sentence. Let's eat Grandpa versus let's eat Grandpa. A comma is the difference between that sentence being a part of a Hallmark movie in a Quentin Tarantino movie. The only thing that changed is the comma. Without the comma, we're planning to eat Grandpa. If we put a comma in, we're planning to eat, and we want Grandpa to be a part of it. All right? Remember that when you are seated around the Thanksgiving table this week. Literally, punctuation, it saves lives, y'all. It is important. In the name of Jesus. Punctuation, it matters. Hebrew scholar Robert Alter said this, if we are not good readers, we will not get the point of the sayings of the wise. It's not just enough to read the Word of God. We have to know how to use it correctly. In the same way that, you know, if you're working on a job site, it's not just enough to have the tools in the bed of your truck. You have to be skilled in the use of those tools, or you could leave the job site worse than the way you found it. It's not just enough to have a Bible. We have to know how to accurately use it and mine the wisdom that it has for our lives, or we could leave the job site of our lives in worse condition than when we first began. This book is not broken. It's not an issue with what it promises. The question is, how are we relating to it today? And that's the thing that I honestly am getting a little concerned with as I look around the world today, because I see people that are genuine and well-meaning on our journey with Jesus, but can I tell you, we cannot treat the Word of God like we treat our social media feed, where I just thumb through, swipe through, skip through, wait for a photo to catch my eye on Instagram, just wait for a promise that sounds good enough to get me excited on a tough Monday morning. We can't just thumb through to the good parts and forget the other parts that are challenging us to rise above the cares, the concerns of this world, and to live the life that God has for us. We cannot treat the Word of God like it's a Facebook feed. You know, we also can't treat the Word of God as if it's Shakespeare. I asked this question last week at Seaboard, and one hand went up the whole day. Last service at Great Neck, I mean, it was a really cultured service here. In our 9 a.m., there were a number of hands going up. Let me ask this question. How many people in here read Shakespeare this week? We got one hand over here. You are amazing, my friend. You are the person of the day in the 11 a.m. here. Online, you go ahead, type in if anyone's read Shakespeare. Here's the reality. We would all agree that Shakespeare has been influential to Western civilization, correct? I mean, it's a great work of art. It framed a lot of how the Western world thinks and tells story and investigates some pretty important elements of the human journey. None of us would challenge that. But for all the value of Shakespeare on Western civilization, look at how many of us engaged it this week. One star student right over here in Jesus' name. You know, a lot of people treat the Word of God like that. You ask them, oh yeah, Word of God matters. My Bible, it's important. I love my Bible. You know, we say all these different things, but then when we really break down our lives and we look at how much is it changing us? How much is it shaping us? How regularly is it a part of our lives? We cannot treat the Word of God like we treat Shakespeare. I would also argue we can't treat the Word of God like we would treat a fortune cookie, where you just go ahead, you have a meal, you have these conversations, and then right at the last second, slam, you just rip open that fortune cookie and see what it has to add to the conversation in the meal. We can't treat the Word of God that way, where we exhaust all the conversation, feed ourselves on everything else, and then at the end is just this little accent on the meal. We just crack, whoa, did you hear that? That was... Someone said, do it again. I'm not gonna try a third time. Right at the end of the meal, we just crack it open and just see what could the Word of God add to this? I've already made up my mind, but let me just see if I can get a promise to rubber stamp the decision I've already made. We cannot treat the Word of God like we treat a fortune cookie. And that's why I love this series on wisdom, because we're getting wisdom for life. But I believe if we're going to take this book and apply the wisdom that it holds, we have to know how to handle it. We have to know how to engage it. And so there are three wisdom books in the Bible that you're holding today. There would be the book of Job. Maybe you read it and all this time thought it was the book of Job. It's the book of Job, all right? There's the book of Proverbs, and there's Ecclesiastes. And today I just want to focus on the book of Proverbs. And inside the book of Proverbs, there's two different types of wisdom literature. And all of this literature is going to fulfill a single purpose. Historians and theologians believe that the book of Proverbs, it is a collection of sayings from ancient Israel with a specific intent. And the intent is this: to train up young people to be contributing and well-adjusted adults in ancient Israelite society. So it's a compendium, it's an anthology of wisdom that young Jewish boys and girls needed to grow up and live the life that God created them to live. That's why they say that much of Proverbs is written in those bite-sized pieces, just two or three lines at a time, real short lines. It's even written differently in your Bible than other books. You go into some books like Kings or Samuel, and it just looks like any other book you open. But you open up Proverbs, and the lines look shorter. They look smaller. Why is that? They wrote them that way so that a young person could easily recall the wisdom of the Word of God when moral dilemmas came up in life. They didn't have AT&T. They didn't have Verizon. There was no Blue Letter Bible website. There was no Bible Gateway. There was no Bible Hub. There was no Logos Bible software. If you wanted the wisdom of heaven, you had to hide it in your heart. And I would argue, even though we have all those other sources to help aid our pursuit of God today, there is still no substitute for hiding the word of God in our hearts, hiding the word of God on the inside, because when we're in the thick of those decision-making moments in life, you may not have time to thumb through a phone, may not have time to turn to a webpage. But there are two types of wisdom literature in the book of Proverbs. And given that the book of Proverbs is called Proverbs, it probably won't come as a surprise that the majority of the wisdom literature that we see in the book of Proverbs are Proverbs. That's the first type. The second type that we see in there are called instruction. And the reason I want to talk about these is because each one requires a different, someone say different, they require a different response from the reader. So we're going to get right into it, and I promise this is going to land in a way where it will make a difference for how we live our everyday lives. It's a bit more of a teaching kind of a conversation today, but I believe that if you can catch the heart behind what I'm sharing with you, it could really be a difference maker as you pursue the life that we believe God created you to know and to live. So we're gonna talk about Proverbs first. A proverb is a short, general truth for doing life well. It is a short, someone say short, general truth for doing life well. Someone was ready to keep going with me there. Whoever that was, thumbs up. You're awesome. It's a general truth. So for instance, finish this, this proverb many of us know here this morning. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. All right, this is a general truth. But it's not the whole truth for how to live a healthy life. And listen to me, I believe that the word of God is inerrant. I believe it is inspired by God. I believe it is different than any other book that you and I could ever read, that it has no equal, that I need to build my life on what this book teaches, that I build my marriage on it, I build my parenting practices on it, I build my identity on it, I build my dreams on it, I build my future hopes on it. If you're a business person, we build our businesses on it. This book is unlike any other book, and everything I'm saying today builds on the understanding that we need to go to the Word of God with a faith and a belief and a trust that we do not give any other book, any other blogger, any other social media star we could ever come across. This book is set apart in and of itself. But listen to me. Realize how I said there's general truths and there's whole truths. You see, a general truth is if you eat an apple a day, it's gonna keep the doctor away. It's very healthy. But what if one day you saw the person who you saw eating an apple every day at the office come in with a doctor's note saying they went to the doctor yesterday? You would look at him and you'd be like, something is up here, what's going on? Well, the issue is we have a part of the truth, we don't have the whole truth. So say you began to talk to this person and you found out that yes, they eat an apple every single day, but they smoke like a chimney. And every night, when everyone's done at the dinner table, they always leave the house really quick and they go hang out with some guy named Johnny Walker. No idea, and his other friend, Jack Daniels. I have no idea what's going on. And he wears it as a badge of honor when he comes into work the next day. I only got 2 hours of sleep last night. Is it a surprise that that guy eventually had to go to the doctor? No, why? Yes, he was eating an apple a day, but how many people know that those other truths matter a lot in the health journey as well? You see, a challenge for many people is we treat Proverbs as if it is a freestanding truth in and of itself. And Proverbs was never meant to be read in isolation from the rest of the counsel of the Word of God. You see, they are general truths, but they're not necessarily freestanding promises where you can just forget the rest of the counsel of the Word of God. Where, yeah, I want to pick the verse on blessing, but I'm going to leave out the verse about how I should handle my marriage or handle my children. You know, we can't just pick and choose the promises that we want from the Word of God and expect the outcome that God said His sons and daughters can believe to have in their life story. It is a general truth, but it is not the whole truth. It looks like this. It's Proverbs 13:4 says, "The appetite of the lazy craves and gets nothing, but the appetite of the diligent is richly," someone say richly, "supplied." This is an example right here of a proverb in Scripture. It is speaking a general truth about life, that if you're lazy, you will be lacking, that if you work diligently, you will be richly supplied. I have seen people take this truth, and I believe it is a truth, but they've acted as if it is an ironclad promise that cannot be proven untrue. And they have just, you know, it's after a while, they just begin to kind of sound like that kid's book we read growing up where I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And, you know, there's stress fractures in their marriage and they're getting distant from their kids, but they're just thinking, if I'm just diligent, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And they're taking this verse, not heeding the full counsel of the word of God. And they get to the end of their story and they've profited in their finances, but their marriage is a shell of what it was. Their children are not honored to call that man their father. And they would look at it and it would not line up with the riches that they originally tried to pursue. Is the Bible broken? No. Is it that we shouldn't build our lives on this book? Not the slightest is that what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we need to take the full counsel of the word. We got to be careful about building a lifestyle or maybe a belief about God, about our humanity, about our purpose in this world, about what are our origins as a human being, all these serious beliefs that affect how we live life, we have to be careful about basing it all on just one single scripture. And the book of Proverbs was never meant to be read and the rest of our Bibles thrown out. It was meant to be read together. You guys tracking with me this morning? You see, it goes like this. It's as if we're driving on the road. Now, I can obey the laws of the road. I can buckle my seatbelt. I can make sure my lights are on. I can make sure that, you know, I have my registration. The car is roadworthy, proper air in the tires. I can have everything right, following the speed limit. And even though I'm obeying the laws of the road, it can increase my chances of a safe arrival at my destination. But how many people know that it cannot categorically ironclad guarantee my safe arrival? Even if I'm following the rules of the road, it does not ensure that everyone else around me is following the rules of the road. Are you guys tracking with me here? And in the same way, listen to this. It could be, you could have a generous, faithful, diligent, hardworking man of God who is leading his family well, stewarding everything right. And can I tell you something? I have prayed with them. I have watched them put the pieces of their life dreams back together again on the other side of the 2008 global financial crisis. Loved God with all their heart. Built their life on the patterns and principles of the Word of God. Still got the pink slip. Were they not godly? Were they reading their Bibles wrong? No. They were abiding by the rules of the road. They were living their lives as best as they knew how on this side of eternity, according to the wisdom and the Word of God. But listen, we live in a world where not everyone's living by that. And so time and chance still happen. You see, a mature disciple will consider the context. Remember the humorous photo we showed earlier this morning about context? It's not, you know, that turkey chilling, let it chill for a little bit. Context is important as we consider applying the word of God to our lives. Even Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, he had to consider context. I mean, think about this for a moment. Crazy thought to think about. The devil tempted Jesus with scripture. He came to Jesus and he used scripture out of context to try to push Jesus' mission and purpose off course. And here's what I want to share. Truth out of context is deception. You can take a Bible truth, apply it out of context, and it will be deception. Can I tell you something? You are not meant to have more faith in your Bible than you do in the God who ordained the Bible you hold. I'm not careful, I can have more faith in the ink on my paper, on the pages of my Bible. I can have more faith in that and stand on those words and not engage God and not seek his presence and not ask for his strength at the start of the day and just say, it's in my Bible, I got it, I'm blabbing it, I'm grabbing it, I'm walking it out, and not even try to engage the God who is backing that promise. The promise doesn't make the promise, it's the God who's behind the promise. You see, Jesus was tempted by the devil. The devil tried to tempt him. He appealed to his hungers, his humanism, his they would say he was tempted with hedonism, his hunger. He hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And then again, he takes Jesus to the roof of the temple, and he appeals to his egoism, and he says, jump from the roof of this place. Jesus, you're such a big deal. Don't you know it's written in the Bible that there are armies of angels just watching for your every move? Jump from here. You won't even have a heel touch the ground. The devil tried to tempt Jesus through ego and pride. And then at the very end, he takes him to a high point, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, it says in Matthew 4. And he says, if you just bow down to me, Jesus, every kingdom you see, every capital, every building, every nation and all of its resources, it will all be yours. He appealed to the materialism that abides in our hearts. And how did Jesus walk in wisdom? Listen to this. He did not allow these areas to warp his worship. He didn't let those things have his heart more than the one who promises them. See, the point to ponder as we look through Scripture is, what has my worship? What has my worship? You see, I think we take things out of context when the promise has our faith, our focus, and our worship more than the God behind the promise. And what scares me about Proverbs is oftentimes I see people and they pursue the promise and they have a greater love and fascination and focus on the promise than they do the God who's holding the promise with an outstretched hand. And if we want to walk in wisdom, we have to remember this is a relationship. This is a relationship. So when we read a proverb, I want to encourage you, don't let the promise warp your worship. Don't let the words on that page steal your focus from keeping Jesus front and center in our faith journey. A proverb is a general truth for doing life well, but we should not take it as a promise in and of itself. We build our lives on it, but we don't build our lives solely on that. It is a general truth connected to the whole counsel of the Word of God. Are you guys tracking what I'm saying today? Another type of wisdom we see in Scripture is what's called instruction. And these are passages that intend to persuade me. Someone say persuade. Persuade me to adopt or abandon specific attitudes or direction for my life. Proverbs 22, verses 22 to 23 says, do not rob the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the afflicted at the gate. The Lord will plead their case and take the lives of those who rob them. You see, most of Proverbs are those proverb statements. They're general truths, general insights, general comments about life. But there are sections in the book of Proverbs that are instruction, and these are passages where divinely inspired, Scripture isn't saying, I'm interested in what you think about this. It is you're about to get hit by a Mack truck called life. Do this and live. Don't do this and endure a season of heartbreak. And this right here is a specific passage. The Bible does not leave it open to whether we feel like it or not to care for the poor in our communities. It is a command from God. Instruction passages expect absolute obedience. The problem is that oftentimes we'll read these instructions as if they're small talk in the grocery checkout. The Bible couldn't really mean that. It doesn't really mean that I have to look out for the poor. Not surely that's not around Christmas time. I got my own gifts to get. I don't have time for the Wave City Care angel tree extravaganza. God couldn't possibly be expecting me to be generous to the house of God in the middle of trying to get gifts for all the people in my life. And the reality is, the wisdom of the scriptures says, who said you had to choose one or the other? What if we believe that we could be so blessed that the poor could flourish in our midst, and those that we know personally and have lived life with can also know how much we love them at the same time? What if God is such a good God that his plan is that none would be lacking in this season? He's just looking for people who are willing to trust him at his word. You see, Proverbs 1:20 says, wisdom shouts in the streets. The band can go ahead and come on back. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she speaks her sayings. How long will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, or fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. This is an instruction passage. And what it tells us is this. You don't walk in wisdom by obeying the word of God only when you agree. And we don't walk in wisdom by obeying the word of God when it's convenient. See, obey the word of God requires humility. A heart that remembers God is God and I am not. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. It's not the Bible's job to fit into our lives. It's our job as disciples, not attenders, disciples of Jesus, to fit our lives into his words. See, every piece of instruction literature, it carries a why and a what. If you only see the what, walking in wisdom will be a burden. It'll come down to do this, don't do that. Say this, don't say that. Go here, but don't go there. But if we can remember the why behind the what, it will give us vision and it will give us focus in our decision-making process. I will not walk there because the Bible tells me that that road leads to destruction. So it's no longer just about the what, it's about the why behind the what, that I serve a God in heaven who desires to bless me and not to harm me, who has a future for me, who has a hope for me, who doesn't desire that the grave would be my end, but that I would live a life with him, knowing true life for all of eternity. When I see the why, it brings force and power in relationship to the what. So as you encounter the what of wisdom, don't forget to see the why. And when you see the why, don't forget to see the who behind the why. That there is a God behind all of this, desperately loving you, desiring relationship, not just attitude adjustment and behavior modification. Wants to make you new from the inside out. Wants to give you life. It's truly life. See, if we're not careful, we can treat Proverbs like instruction. A general truth, as if it's the hill we need to die on. And we can treat instruction as if it's a general truth. And we get it all mixed up. I've seen this happen so many times. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. I've seen my mom cry over this verse. 2 out of 3 brothers not living for God. My father cheated on my mom. Hit me. Did horrible things in our family. It changed everything. And my mom loved Jesus through all of it. She did the best she knew how to do. But 2 of my brothers aren't walking with Christ right now. And I sat with her and looked at this verse. And she said, I don't know where I went wrong. And I've looked at her and I've said, Mom, you didn't go wrong. You trained us up the best way you knew how. But on the other side of that training, yeah, we were young boys. On the outside, young boys, but on the inside, fully grown human beings with a soul. We had our own emotions, our own dreams, our own desires. And just like you had the choice, Mom, whether you would live for Jesus or not, each one of us has been given that same choice by God. And Mom, just because two out of three of us aren't living for God right now, it doesn't mean you made a wrong turn. It just means God's not done yet. So Mom, don't take that guilt. Don't take that shame. Don't take that condemnation. I want to encourage us. Don't treat this book like fast food. If we're going to build our lives on it, you know what we need to do? We need to pause and think about what we're reading. These are words of life. These are words of hope. These are words that can bring incredible breakthrough. But we won't live them out with a part-time commitment. The journey with Jesus is a walk, it's not a sprint. And sometimes when you read the Word of God, you're gonna have more questions than when you first cracked it open. And that's okay. Wrestle with it. Link arms with other Christians in community group, in the lobby of Wave Church after Sunday morning services. Link arms and say, I don't understand this. Would you walk this out with me? I don't just want to read what I want to hear. I want to read what God was trying to tell me. This world is dying on the vine of people telling us what we want to hear. It's tickling our ears, but it's leaving us broken and confused on the inside. And when you approach this book, it will not tell you what you want to hear, but it will tell you what you need to hear to inherit true life. You'll never walk in wisdom loving the promise more than the promiser. Everything we've been talking about today, it builds on this. Jesus. Builds on knowing Jesus. I know what it's like to walk through life thirsty and not be satisfied. Hungry in the middle of a family going through an awful divorce and not feeling fullness anywhere I turned. I know what that felt like. And it was Jesus who brought peace to my heart. It was Jesus who satisfied what was out of place in me. Maybe you know what it's like to walk through life and to be cut by the jagged edges of a world looking for answers. Today, I want to give you Jesus. It's one thing to know that this cup satisfies, but you knowing it is a world of difference from me drinking it. It's head knowledge for you, but right now for me, it's life. Do you know Jesus? Have you found what you're looking for? The life you seek, it's not on the other side of a bank statement, the other side of a surgery, the other side of a number of followers on your social media platform. It's in relationship with Jesus. Very simply, I want to pray for people quickly now who you're in this place and you know what it's like to seek but never find, to thirst but never be satisfied. Today, I offer you Jesus, the only one who satisfies. The only one who can heal that ache that this world has in its soul. Do you know, have you found the fullness I'm talking about today? I feel there's a real softness of the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm gonna quickly count to three. Christians in prayer in this moment. If you're in this place, you're saying, Joe, I've been seeking, not finding. But what you're saying today, if Jesus is the answer, I want Jesus. I've tried on my own, I'm still thirsty. I've tried on my own, I'm still lost. I've tried on my own, I'm still broken. But if Jesus brings what you say he brings, then today I am giving my life to Jesus. If that's you in this place, 1, 2, 3. Go ahead, lift your hand right now in this place. There's a hand there, another 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 hand here. Others here this morning saying, man, that's me. I want to know Jesus. Yep, I saw another hand on the upper level there. Other people here today saying, man, that's me. Another hand there. I see another hand right there. Anyone else in here today? You're done living life on your own. Jesus is in this place. Yeah, buddy, I see that hand right there. Anyone else in here today? Come on, it's not about living a life in our own strength, picking ourselves up by our bootstraps. If we could do that, we'd do it by now. Yes, sir, in the blue shirt. I see that hand right there. Yes, sir, there's another hand. I see you. You're pretty much standing out of your seat right now. God's going to do a work in your life today, man. Anyone else in here right now saying, yeah, that's me. I need Jesus. Just a moment more. Lift your hand high enough, long enough for me to see it. Yes, sir, I see that hand right over there. Come on, church, can we give a hand for every single person? Let's pray a prayer right now. Everyone say, dear Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. I give you everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I trust you. Thank you for saving me. I am a friend of God, forgiven of my sins, and now made whole. And I confess, I am following you. You are Lord of my life, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church, let's give God a hand this morning if you receive that word. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.